Hello, Stunt Galaxy. Welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. It's Eric, Kevin, and Dusty. I've infiltrated your guys' secret lair. What's going on, Dusty?
Yeah, the Illuminati secrets are now exposed to you.
Kevin, what secrets do you have to expose?
Well, I don't know if you want me to expose my secret.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, the fact that you said that singular worries me.
Oh, my Kevin's got a secret.
That was back in Madonna. I don't know. How was Madonna in that era? She certainly wasn't as poppy as she was in her True Blue and fucking... What were some of the other songs she had back then?
Oh, Cherish?
Yeah, that was a good one.
What?
Material Girl, duh, obviously.
Yeah.
And she got all sad, and then her baby had a secret, and something used to be her playground.
And, like, she was a bad girl.
Yep. Well, damn it, this is our playground, and we're going to talk about professional wrestling here today. Thankfully, a bunch of news broke, and Jason Powell at ProWrestling.net reported on it, so now we can have a show.
Thank God for Jason Powell.
Yeah.
Well, actually... Cooliest man in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Actually, this is a bit of news that you can find on StuntGranny.com, actually. Let's talk about TNA, and Kevin, like you said, let's pile on like we love to do. The first thing I've written down here is the fact that Scott Hall and Sean Waltman, otherwise known as X-Pac, otherwise known as Six-Pac, will be on Impact, TNA Impact, on January 4th. That's right, the big Monday night head-to-head competition. Dusty, I feel like starting with you for some reason. Tell me what you think about humongous stars in the late 1990s, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman, appearing on the same television show as their friends, Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan, basically the four founding members of the NWO, all being on Impact on the same important night.
Yeah, everybody except DiBiase that formed the NWO. So,
yep.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is uproarious laughter. Second thing that comes to my mind is, didn't TNA try to book him once before, and he no-showed? And then he showed up like almost a year later, unannounced.
Which one?
So, what's that?
Scott Hall.
Yeah, Scott Hall.
Yeah, is that when Scott Hall got lost in Mexico?
So, like, booking Scott Hall for January 4th would mean that he'll appear January 4th, 2011 in TNA. So.
And if by lost in Mexico you mean looking at the bottle of an empty bottle of tequila, then yes, he was lost in Mexico.
Good point.
I think he was lost in several pounds of Colombian Bam Bam. That's my opinion.
That's awesome. I love that. That would be his name for it, because I'm not saying that X-Pac ever indulged, but if he did, he would probably just call it the Booger Sugar.
Yes.
Kevin, what do you make of this? TNA has in the palm of their hand almost all of the original NWO members. This is the NWO that set the world on fire 13 and a half years ago, and many, many pounds ago, and many, many gray hairs ago. But possibly four of the biggest names in professional wrestling are going to be on TNA in front of 600 crazy fans in Orlando. What's going to happen, Kevin?
I have no idea. And I don't know if I'm going to have any idea. Those, you know, and I kind of talked about this, is a bit off track about thinking about that, but the only thing that dawned on me is that the Fiesta Bowl is going to be played that day.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm far more interested in Boise State against fucking TCU than I am about taping either one of the Monday night programs.
Well, Well, actually, here's the nice thing. You can watch Boise State and TCU. You can tape Raw. But you can go ahead and watch the three-hour Impact again on Thursday when they replay it later that week, because they're so smart that they're giving away the show again later on in the week. How tactfully brilliant is that? Good for TNA, good for Spike TV, and I don't have to watch your bullshit show on the day that you're plotting to have this big head-to-head feud.
I didn't realize that. Fucking A. What a bunch of tool bags. They take off the good Saturday recap of Impact, and they... whatever. Okay. Are any of those four guys even going to be able to walk into a ring and wrestle?
I would say Hogan, probably.
Hogan has already said that he's not sure when or if he's going to wrestle in TNA, so that obviously means that January 4th is a no-go for him. Kevin Nash spends about all of maybe a minute in a three-minute match, even in a tag match, usually, which is what he's in.
Yeah.
And Scott Hall, good Lord.
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him across the street.
You wouldn't buy a car from Scott Hall?
Not even a used one.
Not even a bright blue Cadillac.
Please. I would know. I would, first of all, on that point, Hulk Hogan, if all he's going to do in TNA is give his seal of approval, you saw how well that did with his grill, with his energy drink, with fucking American Gladiators, with the Hulk Hogan fantasy fly fishing challenge, and I'm not bullshitting you, that actually exists.
That's right. Existed.
Of all the guys that can wrestle, okay, so Nash does kind of. But Sean Waltman, I guess, has made a decent showing of himself in the fabled Mexico. But still.
That country is not really down there, but.
Down where?
Oh, God.
You know where. Anyway, I think it's ridiculous that the brain trust of TNA is going to have these four guys in the same building. This is Vince Russo. Vince Russo fucks everything up, including everything involving Nash anyway. He tried to reform the NWO with this fucking mishmash of Bret Hart and Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett and the NWO. Give me a fucking break.
Well, let's talk about Jeff Jarrett for a second, because there's only so much we can say about how TNA will have no clue what to do with three inactive and one active members of the NWO.
And the other thing is are they even, have they even mentioned, they didn't mention them this past week on Impact. And they're just doing a highlight show this week, aren't they? Aren't they just doing like a best of TNA in 2009 this week?
That's going to be a short show, yeah.
Remember back when newscasts were only 15 minutes? This is going to be like, Orlando, 2009, you know, whatever, movie tone newsreel. Five minutes of Abyss getting cut across his head. That's it.
No, it should be 5 minutes of Abyss clapping like a fucking retarded person.
Oh my God!
That's an insult to retarded people.
And then there should be like a one shot of Mick Foley at a Golden Corral buffet, getting winded as he gets to the end of the aisle.
I haven't even gotten to the pecan pie yet.
Oh my God! Fuck TNA.
Wafers and vanilla pudding. So far away. What a douche. Well, okay. So, yeah, if this is going to happen and TNA is not smart enough to promote this weeks in advance, then they're dumber than we all thought. But, speaking of Jeff Jarrett, though, as dumb as we all thought they were, so Jeff Jarrett was quoted in an interview at somethingsomething.com about Hulk Hogan again, giving his thumbs up to TNA. And Jeff Jarrett's quote was similar to this. Hulk Hogan is the most recognizable person in professional wrestling, and with him around, the outlook for TNA in 2010 looks great. There are going to be blue skies for TNA.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said that his plan was that they're going to be below the WWE at the beginning of the year, but they're going to be competing with them by the end of the year.
Well, okay.
Like, they're going to be on the same level by the end of the year.
Dusty, I'll run that through the Dusty translator. What does that mean to you?
What exactly? What specific part are you referring to?
Okay, so they're going to start below WWE. Now, WWE, that's not the biggest spectrum, but, I mean, that encompasses three TV shows. It encompasses 200 house shows a year, certain pay-per-views. So when you hear that, what do you think, first of all?
They're below WWE's level. But at the end of the year, they're going to be competing with WWE.
Yeah.
What do I think that means?
Yeah.
I think that means at the end of the year, Jarrett thinks that Impact might match ECW's ratings.
They might pull off a 1.2 at some point.
Right. ECW might not even be around by the end of the year, so that'll be their only, the only one. 1.0 is bigger than zero.
Yeah, they're doing better ratings than Power Pro Wrestling in Memphis.
Yeah.
They're doing better ratings than World Class Championship Wrestling.
All kidding aside, I think he thinks that this is what they're going to need to get up into the threes, and I think there's absolutely no chance for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is the delusions of a madman, basically. There's really no chance. TNA blew their chance years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing to go back to Russo is only compounding the problem.
What was their chance?
Yeah,
there's a time
think...
when Russo didn't have as much power as he did, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where, like, Scott D'Amore was booking or something, you know?
Sure.
Around about that time was probably their chance to make some kind of big move, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's too late. The TNA name is ruined, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Ruined from the start by being stupid, but you know what I mean. It's done.
It's trash.
Yeah.
And it is trash.
And the people running the company have no idea that things are wrong to even fix them. They're making all the wrong decisions. They're just a joke of a company. So really, honestly, this is just delusional.
Yep. Kevin, what do you think? Are they talking... First of all, are they just talking ratings? And second of all, if they're just talking ratings, is that going to help them to be above or competing with WWE come year end?
If they're only doing what? They're only planning on doing this Impact on Mondays once a month or something like that, correct?
Well, according to a report that I saw recently, it would be once per quarter to start with. And then the possibility of just jumping in headfirst and going full time on Monday night, but probably quarterly at first.
Wow, that's not even monthly.
Nope.
Ah, man, that's you're not really. If you're gonna say that you're going head to head with them, you have to go head to head with them.
No.
You know, doing it once every 3 months is not really doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the WWE has already almost had more of a response to the UFC Monday night on January the 11th by having Tyson host it than they have by, I mean, I know that, what's his name, my long-ago twin brother there, Johnny Damon, mentioned Bret Hart. But I don't think they're gonna do anything different, you know, for Monday. Like, Bret Hart is kind of a big get, but you know, that's just kind of a wrestling community thing. Like, Mike Tyson is a bigger name than Bret Hart.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bret Hart can think all he wants to of himself, but Mike Tyson is way bigger than he is.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the WWE doesn't even seem that concerned with it.
And they shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. They can want to think that they're going to do that, but, I mean, they've got to triple their rating on Impact, because they are usually around a 1 or a 1-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, dragging in 3 times the viewers is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, that's a huge, that's a lot of people to be bringing in.
Yeah, and then add to that the ability to fill up a 17,000 seat arena for your pay-per-view, to run a regular house show schedule, which actually, this sucks. WWE Raw was going to be in Cedar Falls, Iowa on Friday, January 8th, I think it was. And they had to cancel the show for low ticket sales. So thankfully I hadn't bought my tickets yet. I mean, I would have gotten a refund, a friend of mine did. But anyway, the ability to run a full slew of house shows and have them be at least somewhat successful. And just the ability to make money, which, okay, TNA might be making a little bit of money maybe, but that's... And buyer rates, too. You know, compare... even, like, the lowest WWE show that gets maybe 150,000, 160,000 buys or something like that. Even fucking December to Dismember, 2006, that got, like, 99,000 buys is, what, 8 times what TNA gets? That's, like, that's the worst figure ever. TNA has a long way to go before they're in competition with WWE, and it's going to take longer than 1 calendar year, and it's going to take more than triple the ratings if they even want to be considered anything on the level of something WWE has created for itself.
And not having the show every week means that they won't be able to build momentum.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You're gonna ask your any fans that might be hopping on just that Monday night,
mm-hmm.
the next time that they're going to see something new is like 10 days from then.
Yeah.
Like, the least they could do is offer a brand new episode of Impact on Thursday night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God damn, dummies.
Honestly, how many mistakes can you make?
Well, what else?
Every day they make some kind of mistake.
Here, what else do I have on my list? Oh, the fact that Tommy Dreamer might be going to TNA.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Golden Corral, I don't know. Kevin.
I did love on ECW. They have been making fat jokes at Dreamer's expense for, I don't know, what, the past 6 months on ECW or so?
Yeah.
Really? Because didn't it start with his whole, wow, has it actually been close to a year at this point when he started to make his vow to become the ECW champion?
Yeah.
I think so. It's like, I don't know. I feel like it's been about 6 months. For some reason, June kind of.
Okay.
Maybe it was a little before then, because wasn't Extreme Rules in June?
Okay, 6 months then.
Oh, yeah, so about 7 months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, they've been ripping on for that long. Well, on his last, at least as far as we know, televised appearance for the WWE, to prove everybody wrong, he pulls off his T-shirt and still has the beater underneath it.
Yeah,
and shows off the guns. You know what? Yeah, good for him. But you know what? Even Kevin Nash, as much as I make fun of his wobbly knees, I always admit to the fact that that guy obviously is in the gym doing upper body exercises. You can tell that that guy has taken time out to get in, you know, at least from what people mostly see, since he always wears the long pants anyway, that he's nine shades of buff. And Tommy Dreamer, while he might be working out more, definitely is not in as good a shape as Kevin Nash, and he's got to be younger, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tommy.
So
I think
so
it goes
March.
Garbage.
Yeah, I mean, it should be marginally easier for him to get into shape rather than Kevin Nash, especially since, well, I'm guessing that Tommy can probably do cardio a bit easier than our good buddy Kevin Nash can.
Yeah, on two bad knees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Tommy sure showed us on Tuesday night, didn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't even look that good in the match. You know,
no.
I mean, he just hasn't looked good in a match in a while. And, I mean, it's probably just because of the whole, you know, the style of wrestling that, you know, well, I don't know if I want to say he grew up in it, but, you know, just starting in the original real ECW, you know, it probably put too much of a beating on his body.
Oh, I'm sure. But, yes, and then I was actually going to make fun at the same time and say that most of Tommy's Dreamer's offense involved hitting someone in the groin with a plastic dinosaur, hitting someone in the head with a carton of eggs, hitting someone in the head with a soda, hitting someone in the head with a hot dog, and then DDTing them 17 times for 17 near falls before getting beat. So, on that note, Dusty, what does Tommy Dreamer have to offer TNA?
Well, 2 points before I answer your question, because I'm self-absorbed and like to hear myself talk.
okay. I like to hear you talk, too.
Yeah, okay. if you watch when Tommy Dreamer first came to ECW, he was really buff and in shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a totally different person now.
Yeah.
He and Mikey Whipwreck are the classic examples of what ECW style will do to you. Just totally physically destroyed them.
Yep.
So, there's that. The other thing is, I kind of thought this was weird, because weren't the whispers for a long time that Dreamer had, like, just a hot spot for an office job once he wanted to retire?
Yeah,
everyone in WWE liked him, and he was guaranteed an office job, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, wasn't he a point man for someone in OVW for a while, too?
Yes.
Or a talent scout or something.
So this is weird. This is almost like conspiracy level kind of stuff. Like, maybe he's sent to TNA to gather information or something.
Yeah.
The timing would be right, too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't scoff at that idea. In fact, it's a very legitimate idea. Vince did it once with Russo and Ferrara and Bret Hart. He'll do it again with Tommy Dreamer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Bret Hart went to WCW after that storyline where he lost the title. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. And then when Hulk Hogan, who can read Vince McMahon like a book, saw through the whole thing and made sure that Bret Hart almost never got on pay-per-view, squashed all those plans. Then Vince had to let go of Russo and Ferrara in order to send them to TNA, or to to WCW.
Same thing.
Same thing, and then what did they do? They built up Bret Hart like they were supposed to originally, because when Bret Hart was going to come back to WWE, it would have been a huge deal had he been the WCW champion, right? Like Russo made him.
Yeah.
Until Goldberg kicked him in the head, which didn't look all that devastating anyway.
No. No, that's one thing here. Like, I know I'm Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, but I can almost guarantee you that Goldberg did not cause a concussion or anything. There either was never a concussion, or else Bret had it before the match.
I say there was never a concussion. Sorry, Kevin. I've talked to Dusty about this 1,000 times, and I think we've got the whole plot line figured out. But
that's cool.
There was no concussion. Bret Hart faked it, because at the time, that was the time when Russo was being pushed out of power in favor of Kevin Sullivan came back in.
Sullivan, yep.
And with Bill Bush in power as the executive vice president, getting ready to put Sullivan back in. Sullivan's not going to do any favors for Bret Hart.
Not at all.
So with Bret seeing the writing on the wall, he just decided, fuck it, I'm going to fake this injury and just go sit out. So there you go.
Also, one more little point to make about that. The people that Russo built up the most, like you said, Bret Hart, he also did a very good job of revitalizing Kurt Hennig and Chris Benoit.
Benoit, yeah.
And those were the people who disappeared as soon as Sullivan took over.
Interesting. Yeah, Benoit immediately goes over to WWE and about 6-7 months down the road starts wrestling Rock for the world title.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Interesting how that works.
Strange things in wrestling.
There you go. Okay, there's a little conspiracy theory for everybody. I enjoy that.
So, what impact will Tommy Dreamer have in TNA? Nothing. He and Raven can feud. Whoopee, you know?
Oh, my God.
He and Stevie Richards and those guys. Fucking
yep.
Hardcore matches. That's going to... This sucks. It's going to suck.
Well, between that and the NWO, it's 1996 all over again.
Yep.
Actually, hey, since we're piling on, let's talk about somebody who just left TNA. Sean Daivari, we know him and love him as Sheik Abdul Bashir.
Yes.
Got the briefcase at, what was the fucking pay-per-view called? No Surrender, Just Surrender.
Never
Final
Surrender.
It's Final Resolution, wasn't it?
Final. That's right, Final Resolution. Thank you. It was Easy Lover.
Ed Lover?
Easy Lover. Yeah, at the Feast or Fired match. Dumbest name ever for a concept match, by the way. Abdul Bashir got the briefcase with the pink slip in it, which was apropos and fitting and necessary because he asked for his release. Why'd he ask for his release? Because they were renegotiating his contract and they wanted him to take a huge pay cut. Not to mention that he had mentioned to Terry Taylor, fucking genius that he is, that he was not happy with the direction of his character. Fucking flip a coin, I don't know. Kevin, we talked about the conspiracy theory thing for a while, so you go ahead and take this one. What, Abdul Bashir leaves, what do you make of this situation?
Well, I can't believe that he thought his character was going in any direction whatsoever. Because he really had almost even been pushed out of the World Elite, because they had really focused on the Englanders.
Yeah.
The Englishmen?
The
I don't
Brits.
Know. Whatever. The Brits. But,
What do you
think? Yeah, that just really got out of hand in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was a bitch for the British Invasion well before they were even the World Elite. And then when they brought Eric Young in as the mouthpiece, which I can't believe they didn't continue to use Bashir as the mouthpiece, honestly, because he's about at least 10 times better than Eric Young is on the mic.
Yeah. Oh, but Eric Young is the next Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to say
it. I'm sure he is.
God.
Yeah, so good for him. He should have won it out of there, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they're bringing in what? How, I mean, are they going to, like, with Scott Hall and Waltman coming in, are they just going to use them one time? I mean, we've talked how many times about how bloated their roster is. So they might be bringing in those two idiots full time. You know that Hogan's going to suck up more, is going to suck up some type of camera time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have probably all indications are the Dreamer is going to be over there. So that's another fat piece of garbage that's going to need some fucking time. So, you know, he had nothing to do there.
Yeah.
You know, it was really a practical move by him to just go ahead and get out of there.
Sure. Especially with the pay cut thing. You know, if you're going to collect a paycheck, you know, whatever. If his paycheck was what it was, whatever. Pin me, pay me. But, you know, if they're asking him to do all this for less money, yeah, he's well within his rights to, you know, look out for number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially since what they say, he just had it redone in the spring. Like, it wasn't like they redid his contract, like, 3 years ago or something.
Right.
You know, it's just like, wow, how hard is it to look into the crystal ball 6 months in advance or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like, are they asking him to take a pay cut to make extra, to save money for Hall and Waltman to come in, or for, I don't know, Tommy Dreamer's, never mind. The jokes are too easy. Let's see.
Well,
I don't know.
And maybe he's seen what Vance Archer has gotten to do.
Jesus. Yeah, Dusty, what do you think? Okay, first of all, what are the odds that Sean Daivari ends up in WWE?
Pretty solid.
Okay.
Yeah, they bring people back at a fairly regular clip, so. I can see it happening. Vince likes evil foreigners, so they could definitely try that again.
Where would you see him fitting in, do you think, off the top of your head?
Like, what show?
Yeah. I made you Johnny on the spot.
Wow, man. Well, you know, that's exactly right, Gene. You just put me on the spot, dude. I don't know, you know, if they want to really push him, they'll put him on Raw, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know.
Or if they just want to have a warm body to keep around, there's always room on ECW for people.
Yeah, ECW needs a couple people. I wish there were a couple people under contract that need to be brought up anyway.
Joe Hennig.
Oh, Jesus, Loki! Oh, my God. Wow, I'm coffee today.
Coffee Kingston.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. That's too easy. Kevin, I don't know, what do you think? Sean Daivari, the WWE again? WWE again? Boy, that didn't come out very well.
I thought it came out okay on the first time around. Yeah, I mean, the chances are solid. I mean, he doesn't really have too many options. I mean, he could go to Ring of Honor. I don't know if they really want him there, or if he's even tried there before.
Mm-hmm.
And, he could try Evolve, I suppose, in Dragon Gate.
If his main concern was pay, I can't imagine getting any sort of pay equivalent to TNA going to Ring of Honor or Evolve. I mean, you could fill the schedule up with indie dates, but even then, I don't know. It's like WWE and maybe something internationally are about his only choices. Like, is Hustle still around?
I don't know.
Because if they were throwing out money, he could totally play some over-the-top terrorist character in Hustle. That'd be awesome.
Yes.
I don't know. Whatever, follow the money. Sean, you're a Midwesterner. You're my boy. I've seen you wrestle indies a million times. Go do whatever you got to do and make your money.
Right
on. If I ever put on another show, I'll try to get a hold of you. I'll float you $50 and a foot long from Subway.
I know how you like it, too. Heavy on the onions.
Oh, my God. Oh, let's see. What else can we talk about? Oh, this is good. Here's somebody who used to also be in WWE, also used to be in TNA, I think, was in the original ECW, among other places. Now his stupid ass is going to be in a court of law. Kid Cash, very, very popular high flyer and piece of white trash southern asshole that yells at everybody to try to get his way, even though he's barely fucking paid his dues. I don't care if his last name is Cash and he's wrestled in Southern Indies his whole life. Still not good enough. There's another guy with delusions of grandeur. He was actually arrested recently for identity theft, for two counts of forgery, and for four counts of theft of property under $500. Of course, the one that gets me is the identity theft. Kid Cash wants someone else's identity, Dusty.
What's that?
I don't know. That's just, I didn't really have like an a question so much as just a thought.
The thing that gets me is not the identity theft. I can understand why you'd want to be somebody else.
Because David Cash ain't cutting it anymore.
You know. He's looking like, Dusty Ewing doesn't sound too bad right now.
That's awesome. Fonda, I can't think of this time of year.
Stealing stuff under $500. If you want to steal, do it right, dummy. Steal the expensive shit.
Yeah, don't just steal one pair of silver tabs. Steal 10.
That's right. Now, those are going for upwards of 50 cents on the black market. So,
I would really like to know what Kid Cash has been stealing recently. Kevin, I don't know. What do you think about what he's been stealing? I don't even have a question for this.
Yeah, no, it's obviously to make fun of him not having any cash, so.
He obviously didn't steal Julio De Niro's identity. He didn't get anything from Easy Money.
he certainly did not go to the Million Dollar Man for a loan.
No, Jesus, no.
When he opens his wallet, there's not too much in it.
Sick burn. By the way, what did I say in that write-up of TNA's stupid pay-per-view this last time? Oh, I couldn't think of Elijah Burke's new name, so I called him, what did I call him? Dis something or other De Niro.
Yeah.
Good God. Well, that's Kid Cash in a nutshell for you.
Oh, come on. I have one last one. Maybe he can have Santa IRS do his taxes this year.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. You ball players are the biggest tax cheats. Then he just kind of walked away. Hey, actually, perfect segue into the last thing, since we've already talked about Mike Tyson a little bit and that was on my list. You made a good point, Kevin. That's probably to combat the UFC on that same Monday night, January 11th. Should be interesting to see what Mike Tyson has to say, but Mike Tyson's a huge wrestling fan anyway, so he's not going to make a fool out of himself. But I guess, let's see, how the fuck are they going to lead into this? Oh, because you said Santa and IRS, that's right.
Yep.
Let's real quick just talk about Monday Night Raw, and Kevin, I'll start with you because you posted something on the Stunt Granny forum, and then your thread just blew up, unbeknownst to you. You hit us up with your thoughts on Raw. Lead the discussion.
Well, and I still haven't even gotten around to reading this whole thing, so I think the first thing was that whole DX stuff. I don't know. Was it as train wreck funny as I thought it was, or is it because I may or may not have been impaired while watching that?
Dusty, you own the spaghetti jacket around here. What do you think?
I was wearing my cringy face on that stuff, man. I gotta be honest.
the intersection of cringe and scowl.
Yeah.
some of it was funny, but overall it was just the same embarrassing shit that WWE ends up with when they try to do stuff like that. Like, overall, bad. Parts, funny. I laughed at some of it.
Yeah, and I just can't believe, like, I just read some of the other reviews on other sites. It's just like, this is the reason I'm embarrassed to watch wrestling. And I'm like, they've been doing this stuff so consistently for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, honestly, like, I mean, unless you have a reason or you feel like you need to rip on it all the time, honestly, stop watching. Like, you know, literally, the only reason I watch is because, well, we need fucking content for our site. And I'm never embarrassed to say that, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly, that is the biggest way to get them to change their product. But, you know, they're obviously not going after the people that are posting on message boards or on, you know, any emailing into wrestling sites for the most part. A 6-year-old through maybe a 12-year-old, more times than not, is probably not going to do that. And they're probably going to be happy with all that baloney that fucking happened on Monday, too.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff that you, the kids in that age range go to school the next day, and they get to pretend that they were Hornswoggle. They get to go around and crotch chop all day long because somebody as tiny as they did got to do it on Raw. And you're never going to hear a 6-year-old be like, this is the reason I'm embarrassed to be a wrestling fan.
We need to have more 4-star matches.
They need to push the cruiserweights.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think that they could do it better, and that's another point that I make on a fairly consistent basis. I think they could still make it better for the age range that they're going at, but, you know, that's the rut that they're stuck in, and they seem fine with it because their ratings are either steady or getting a slight bump up from what they had been, you know, in the last couple of years, because aren't they kind of usually near like a 3.5 now rather than something in the 3 range?
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, they don't have a whole lot of incentive to change.
Right. Yep, which means more DX climbing under the ring and then ending up in a secret lair full of little people.
Yeah, that was one of the more entertaining parts. I thought, wow, I didn't realize it was this spacious under the ring.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I guess overall, it was pretty funny. What else did you mention in your thread?
Oh, fuck me. Well, of course, the one thing that I mentioned, and I don't know if somebody else mentioned it, is Swagger looked better against Cena, but then they put him in a really compromising position, having him come back for that the ECW homecoming match.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that he dominated most of that match against Yoshi, but he still lost.
Yes, he did, with a kick to the head.
Yep, so anything that may have made him look fairly decent on Monday was undone by Tuesday.
Dusty, what do you make of that? And the comparison, too, that Kevin made was that Swagger looked better in his match against Cena than Miz did in any of his matches against Cena.
Yeah. Interesting. I thought that this was the start of some kind of push for Swagger. I was mistaken. I thought this was one of their half-ass... See, he wrestled Cena. So he's better than he used to be, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's their idea of getting somebody over. They don't understand how to do it any other way, you know? So, but no, it's just more Even Steven bullshit, I guess.
Put him in the ring with Cena.
Top guy, and then losing to mid-card guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I could say, hey, well, now they're going to push Yoshitatsu, but they're not. I don't know. I have no clue what they're thinking.
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know. It just seemed that they were so high on Swagger and, or, you know, up to a point anyway. I don't know where it all fell apart.
Is he a prick in real life? Is that what's going on?
I don't know, man. Maybe. I don't know. I don't understand. It's too bad because, and again, especially losing to Yoshitatsu on ECW. You know, don't put him in that position because we've griped about the mid-cards on Raw and SmackDown at various times for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you should be protecting. I would say that in one match, Swagger looked better against Cena than Miz did in any of his matches against Cena, mostly because they were all cut very short. And I think they're just kind of, I think they're still kind of feeling out the whole Miz thing, but didn't want to give him too much just in case. Well, they're obviously misguided because Miz is the fucking man, and he's taken the ball and completely ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
But besides him, like, you need to protect your mid-card because you never know when you're going to need somebody to step up. And so Swagger wrestling a good match, good, like, 14-minute match or whatever it was against Cena, good. Even losing, fine. That's fine. But then losing to Yoshitatsu, even if he did dominate the match, we're still going to remember who won and who lost, and Yoshitatsu won, and Jack Swagger, potentially decent, high mid-carder or whatever on Raw, lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and even going more with that, like, having him almost get transferred back to ECW really wouldn't have been all that terrible of a thing if he would have been the guy challenging Christian for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they're going to use this as some sort of transition thing so they don't have to depend on a draft or whatever. You know, I'm thinking even though it'd be babyface against babyface, I don't know. I'd like to think that Evan Bourne stands a chance of winning whatever this little competition is and then wrestling Christian and maybe beating him. And then ECW gets to be Evan Bourne's territory. It gets to be his playground, if you will.
A dream.
But I don't know if that's the right move for Evan Bourne, you know, because he's on Raw once in a while, but he keeps losing to Jack Swagger. God, you can't win.
No, and that was another point that I made, too, there, was just week after week, no matter what they do with Bourne, everyone is in the arena is going nuts for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep saying, oh, we listen to the crowd, we listen to the crowd. People can't go more apeshit for somebody.
Yeah.
No.
And it's not just in the crowd either, is it, Dusty? Sometimes it's via text message.
No, I've got people texting me all night long during his matches. Nuts.
He's so athletic.
Yeah, you won't shut up about him.
He's another Midwesterner though. He's another one of my homeboys I've never met.
Fuck! I was going crazy. I fucking love the guy.
Yep.
He does everything right.
Yeah, he sells like a fucking champ.
Enough.
What was that? Yeah, dog. What was that clothesline that somebody gave him a clothesline? And he just like.
No line. Went,
what's that?
What?
You still yelling at the dog?
Yeah,
well,
I
nonetheless,
just did.
Nonetheless, Evan Bourne took some wacky ass clothesline from one of the big guys on the opposing team. I think it was DiBiase. Or it might have been Orton.
It was DiBiase. He did the whole turn me inside out clothesline.
Yeah, he went ass over apple cart, and when he landed, his arms were up in the air in a direction that arms aren't supposed to go. And it's like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So they just keep missing the boat on him. I'd kind of like to see him get the shot against Christian, win, and then take over ECW, but whatever. I mean, we'll see.
They have smaller people over there, and that, you know, that's just a better place for him, really. I mean, unless they're going to give him that, you know, giant killer deal that Rey Mysterio has, and they obviously aren't willing to do that right now. ECW is really a better spot for him.
Yeah, that's what I think anyway. Let's see, what else? One other thing I wanted to mention about Raw, if you don't mind me cutting in on your thread action.
No.
But it goes back to the whole mid-card thing. Obviously, Sheamus had to beat somebody. He beat MVP. I don't know. Kevin, what did you think? I can't remember if you actually mentioned that in your thread or not. I'm pretty sure that I did in one of my responses.
Yeah, I don't remember if I did or not, but that was just... let me see if I actually did here or not. I've kind of flipped through some of this other stuff, but that was just really... Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I hope MVP likes it 6 feet deep, because that's where his career is right now.
Yeah, it's just more on the decline of the career of the least valuable player. Dusty, what do you make of his descent?
You know, the only way that would be okay is if they get strongly behind him in a tag team situation where people would forget about it. I have zero faith in that happening.
Yeah.
This is a guy who started out so hot, and I don't know what the hell happened. Yet another case where it's like, you know, how did they miss the boat with him?
Yep. Well, he was a guy that they obviously saw that they could only push him to a point. And honestly, they're right, because this guy, MVP, is not world title material. It takes somebody special to hold the world title. But
right, but they're not interested in having a mid-card.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. He's either going to, you know, job to Sheamus or whatever. Yeah, but I don't know. If it were anybody, though, if Sheamus was going to beat anybody as WWE champion, at least MVP is a former tag team champ with Matt Hardy and a former United States champion a couple of times.
Mm.
So that helps Sheamus, which kind of goes back to what I was saying. So they're only going to push MVP to a point. And they've been working him for like two and a half years or something like that. And he's kind of older, so maybe they're thinking, okay, we've gotten him up to the peak. Now we start working him back down the hill, and now he starts putting people over on their way up. It's like, is it too late for MVP? Have we seen his high point?
I think we have.
Kevin?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of hard to disagree with that. I mean, he's been on the decline for a while at this point.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think it's been a good solid year. Like ever since he started that losing streak bullshit. He kind of got a little bit of a push after that, and ever since then, it's just kind of been a gradual downhill descent.
Yep.
And that's my main argument always was the fact that he is a little bit older, you know, just because he had spent time in jail, and that he need, you know, if they wanted to get anything out of him, they really needed to do it nowish.
Yeah.
And they. Well, and you know what? He had a good point, too. Well, A, I can't believe somebody that got them that much coverage on national TV with the whole Sherry Shepherd thing would get the shaft that bad, honestly. Like, I mean, he got them a lot of mainstream coverage.
That's a good point.
And he just got fucked right in the ass. And they had a shank to his throat when they were doing that, man. I mean, I'm sure he did not get it that bad in the joint. And,
don't you love the way leather feels against your body? Sorry.
There's nothing they can really... I mean, I guess they could build him back up again, but, yeah, it's kind of getting to that... way too late point, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't know. Yeah, I think we've seen the best of him. And as long as
I'm sorry. The other point that I forgot about, because he even mentioned it in one of his interviews this week, MVP, was that he liked his character better as a heel.
That's interesting.
I think that makes him exactly the same as 100% of the American public.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's better off. He was a lot more natural as a heel. His interviews are so, like, pathetically delivered and wooden right now.
Can we talk about that for a second? Why do they get that wrong with everybody?
Yeah.
Why are they wrong about every wrestler?
Yep. It's like, seriously, The Miz and Punk, I guess, you know. But even Punk's diatribes are starting to run long. Besides The Miz, it's like, look at Morrison. Morrison's not a baby face. He's an egotist. He's a pretty boy.
Yes.
And when he cuts promos, it's just like, I am the champion. I'm going to wrestle you now. I hope I hit my Starship Pain. Like MVP. Yo, dog, I was just talking to my friend, Vern Troyer. You and I are going to get a tag team title match. It's like Mark Wahlberg talks to animals. Say hello to your mother for me. Anyway. Why do they get it wrong? Every time.
No.
Because they're
dumb. Yeah, well. I don't know if it's every time, but it's definitely more times than not.
I don't know. Scripted promos plus wrestling equals terrible idea.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Just let everybody say what's on their mind. Speaking of which, anybody else have anything on their mind? Because I've just run through the whole list of stuff here.
Mind? Do you want to know what's on my mind?
Let's see. Yeah, we've hit the hour mark, I guess, so.
Yeah, no, I really don't have a whole lot of else. I mean, there was the minor bullshit point there on Impact this past week that I could bring up if I really felt like it, but I just don't feel like it at this juncture.
Well, you could always start a thread about it.
Yeah, maybe.
And if he did, he would start that thread at the Stun Granny Forum. Next time you go to StunGranny.com, look at the top of the page for the link to the SG Forum. Click on it and join us in conversation about Monday Night Raw, TNA Impact, SmackDown whenever it airs in our area, pay-per-views whenever Dusty's neighbor orders them. And speaking of which, Dusty tried to start a tournament a long time ago, and everybody dropped the ball on it. Now it's time for everybody to pick up the ball at the exact same time. We've already done one tournament about the best pay-per-view ever. Dusty, what's on the docket right now?
I'm trying, for symmetry's sake, to do the worst pay-per-view ever.
Excellent. So we've got a few submissions in there right now. Dusty's dropped in a couple. Go check it out. And any ideas you have for the worst pay-per-view ever, go to our forum and submit your ideas. So we can.
There are a lot of doozies.
There are a lot of stinkers.
Yeah.
Let's see. Otherwise, I can't think of much else, so I don't know. I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off, and I'll let you two battle it out after that. So go to the forum, check it out, talk to us. We'll talk to you, and we will talk to you later. I'm out.
All right, well, no battle here. I'll go next. For Kevin and Eric and for Jack Swagger's hair, I'm Dusty Giebing. I'm out of here.
Well, if I have been drinking Grandpa's Tippy Time beer, Yingling, before I go and grab more this weekend when I go back to the fine port city of Altoona, Pennsylvania. So you grandkids have a Merry Christmas, and if you don't celebrate Christmas, well, at least put some hits up on our site so that we look fancy and we feel better about ourselves.
Yes.